Welcome back to this Arena special preview of the Kürch International Festival of Literature, which starts tomorrow week. My next guest, Viet Thanh Nguyen, is the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Sympathizer, the story of a communist spy living among Vietnamese exiles in America. The Committed is a sequel to The Sympathizer, and this time round, the narrator, having returned to Vietnam where he was persecuted for being an anti-communist spy, now finds himself a refugee in Paris. Delighted that Viet Thanh Nguyen joins us this morning for you, Viet, this evening for us here in Ireland. Why did you send your unnamed... Well, he kind of is named this time round. He's named Vaudan, but we'll come back to that. Why did you send him off to Paris this time round?
Well, hey, Sean, it's such a pleasure to be here. Well, you know, he's part French and part Vietnamese. His father is a French priest who molested this young girl who became our sympathizer's mother. And in the first novel, The Sympathizer, I thought that the French kind of got off easy. I mean, the focus of that book was on the American war in Vietnam, and so I had a lot to say about the Americans and the Vietnamese of all sides, and a little bit to say about the French. And so in the sequel, The Committed, I thought it would just be appropriate for me to try to offend the French, to criticize them for what they did under French colonialism in Indochina, what they called Indochina. Which, you know, I think the French have sort of gotten away with it. The Americans have left behind a visual record of what they did. We get to see this in photographs and in Hollywood movies and all of this. So whether or not we know anything about the American war in Vietnam, we think we do because we have these really powerful images. And the French, I think, when it comes to their period of colonialism, if it's remembered at all, it tends to be remembered as a sort of romantic period with, you know, very nostalgic black and white photographs of the French looking nice in their white linen suits and the Vietnamese looking subservient, playing their role as servants. And this covers up a really heinous period of French colonization that the Vietnamese who rebelled against it described as slavery. You know, the colonizer never comes to another country and says, I'm here to rape and pillage you. They come in and say, well, I'm here to bring you civilization. And then I'll rape and pillage you as well. But the veneer of civilization is what justifies all of the exploitation that is a part of colonization. But that gap between what the colonizer says about the civilizing mission and what the colonizer actually does is a source of rage. And I wanted to bring all that out. But it's also a source of humor with enough distance. And so there's a lot of satire deployed in these books as well. And that those two emotions go hand in hand. And I think they're driven by a common motivation on my part to sort of illuminate how power works and how seductive it is, because I'm the first one to admit that I'm mentally colonized. It's like I may reject colonization at an intellectual level and a political level, but I get, you know, easily seduced by the French.
So in what way have they mentally colonized you, and what do you want to get rid of? What do you actually want to clean out of your mind and have a clear view of?
Like everybody else, I love the tourist version of Paris, for example. I get weak in the knees when I see a baguette or when I see the Eiffel Tower or when French people say, where's the bathroom in French? You know, I mean, like the stupid stuff like that is a sign that I give the French a lot of allowances simply because of who they are. And who they are is or was an imperial power. And I think whether we're talking about the British, the French, or the Americans, and so many other colonial powers that I mentioned in the book, they have an advantage. Because power equals or makes it easier to seduce. And so one of the contradictions of colonization and its aftermath is that even if we are angry at the colonizer, we're also forced to live with the colonizer constantly through their presence, their cultural and political presence in our lives, and that inevitably produces a distortion. And we should be able to make fun of ourselves. And so, you know, our narrator, the sympathizer, let's just be very clear, you know, he constantly punches up at the powerful, which is what satire should do, but ultimately he's always the butt of his own joke, and hopefully that makes him vulnerable and someone we can identify with.
How big a joke is it to call him Vaudan?
So he's nameless. He's certainly nameless in the first novel, known only by these things like being called the captain, which is his military rank, and being called a bastard, which is the epithet that's applied to him. And things have changed in The Committed. In The Committed, he's no longer just a bastard. He's the crazy bastard, as other people call him, because he's been through a lot. But in order to get into France, he has to have a passport, and so he has to have a name. And the name he gives himself is Vo Yang, which is, as we discover in the book, simply means no name or anonymous. And so he thinks he's playing a joke on the French bureaucracy because he says, well, you think you're getting a name for me, but it's really no name at all. And then, of course, he tells us that the reason why he's given himself this name is that when you go to Vietnam in the aftermath of this war that killed millions of people, and you see all over the place these military cemeteries devoted to the victorious Vietnamese dead, what you see oftentimes are gravestones with Vo Yang on them, which means that hundreds of thousands, or at least tens of thousands, of North Vietnamese soldiers died anonymously. And that's a real tragedy, obviously. Mm. And so it is a joke on the French bureaucracy, but ultimately it's an extremely painful joke as well.
The part that you send, the part of Paris that you send Vo Yen to, though, he ends up being a drug dealer here and dealing in all sorts of nefarious beings and characters where he finds himself. It isn't the romantic side of Paris that he's in.
Oh, yes, because I think all of us know the romantic side of Paris. All of us have been exposed to it, again, through the power of French culture. These stereotypes of the romantic French and of beautiful Paris are circulated all over the world. So I didn't feel like I needed to situate my character in that milieu. And instead, I wanted him to be in the immigrant quarters of Paris because I spend time there. And I think, you know, this is the place where the contradictions of French history and French life are very visible because these immigrant quarters are full of people who basically are not white. And to even bring that up is I think problematic for the French, who insist that there's no such thing as race, and that if you see whiteness, you're simply being a racist yourself. I mean, that's exactly the kind of conversation that's happening today in France. And so in these immigrant quarters, he's living among other Vietnamese and Chinese people and other Asians, including Cambodians. And he's also coming into contact with other formerly colonized populations like Algerians, Senegalese, Tunisians. So this was important to put him in this context so that I could bring up these colonial histories that these characters bring with them. The other reason to have him there is because he has to find a way to survive in Paris. And he ends up living with his aunt, who is also mixed French and Vietnamese, but she's of the elite class, and she's an editor for a publishing house, and she hangs out with all these intellectuals and these left-wing politicians. They also are human because they like their hashish, and as it turns out, their drug dealer has disappeared. And when our narrator shows up, he sees an opportunity because he and his best friend Bon have a contact in Paris, the boss, who is this crime lord, and the boss has promised them jobs after they met in the refugee camp. And so our narrator has this brilliant or misguided idea to sell hashish to the intellectuals and the elite and all of that. And that's how the plot gets going. And I wanted to make it into a crime novel because The Sympathizer was a spy novel. I did that because it's very entertaining, that particular genre, and allows me to bring up all kinds of politics and history. But also, as he points out, the drug dealer is simply another kind of capitalist. And it's capitalists who are really the scary types. I mean, drug dealers may harm you individually, but capitalists are the ones who steal and plunder from millions, as he tells us.
And I pick up that perhaps you agree with him on that point?
Well, I think the sympathizer, if we call him that, Vo Yang, he is certainly an alter ego of mine. He says a lot of things that I do think. Maybe he says some things I don't think. I don't want to give everything away about where I align with the sympathizer. But he's originally a communist spy. You know, he came to revolting against the French through Marxism and communism. And by the end of The Sympathizer, he's disabused of the communist revolution. He sees all of its various failings and so on, but he's not disabused of revolution in general. Like, he still believes that we need revolution. The question is, and this is what the committed deals with, what does a revolutionary do when he loses his revolution? So we take that up. But he still, even though he doesn't believe in a communist revolution, I think he is still aware that capitalism has very significant problems, and that capitalism and colonialism are inextricable from each other. And I think we really have to understand that, to understand how, if we live in a capitalist country, the many wonders of capitalism that we may participate in are inextricable from the histories of colonization that brought all this wealth to places like Paris. You know, like you can enjoy all these romantic, wonderful pleasures of Paris, like visiting the Louvre, for example. That's inseparable from histories of colonial plunder. And likewise, we wouldn't have colonization without capitalism. That colonization is just another form of capitalism that's done in colonized countries. And so he has to be critical of capitalism, given his own colonial origins and his communist influences.
So I guess in some ways, when you write about that particular colonialism that we're speaking about, the French colonization of Vietnam back in the 50s, and you make this reference to capitalism, in as much as you're writing about France 1950s colonization of Vietnam, you're writing about capitalism at 2021, any country in the world that works in the capitalist system.
I don't think things have changed that much. I think that the nakedness of colonization has been shrouded to be a little bit more palatable for people, but the mechanisms of exploitation and marginalization are still there. And this novel is set in 1982. It was really fortuitous to set it during this time because the novel concludes in 1984 with one photograph in the book, and that photograph is a real photograph of the first immigrant rights march, anti-racism march in Paris that had mass numbers of Arabs, people of Arab and Algerian and North African descent, Black people, and a handful of Vietnamese people. These people would not be in France or in the United States if it hadn't been for colonization that brought them the homeland of France. And in 1982 to now, I think is not that far either. The very issues that are being raised in early 80s Paris are still resonant today. And so we're still in the long aftermath of colonization, and arguably colonization has not even finished yet.
You do. It's important because these are very, some of them very weighty ideas and very important ideas. But it's really important that we don't lose the entertainment side of what you're doing in this novel, as indeed you did in The Sympathizer as well. You love having a go at the intellectual elite and their three initialed names, like BFD, the character you have in the book. Maybe explain that philosopher and what was in your mind there.
Yeah. So in The Sympathizer, of course, I mean, you could walk away from The Sympathizer and think, Nguyen is only going to criticize the right wing. And I thought that, in fact, if we go to Paris, it gives me a huge opportunity to satirize the left wing, because there's plenty of things to satirize about the left as well. So every ideology, I think, has its shortcomings once you put real human beings in them, because real human beings are petty and flawed individuals. And I speak as a petty and flawed individual myself. And if you're at least anywhere cognizant of what's happening in contemporary French life, just read the headlines occasionally, you're aware that in the last few years, the French left has had its issues. So, BFD, that character, he is a rosé socialist descended from, a Cabernet communist. And so, he talks constantly about May 1968, this moment of French Revolution, which is very fetishized in the French left-wing imagination. And yet he's still a white guy, and he's still a person of immense privilege. And so it's impossible for him to look at someone like the sympathizer, like Vo Yang, and not condescend to him. So Vo Yang is constantly exposed to the condescension of the French left and of French intellectuals who can't see how much race still plays a role in their perceptions and in their attitudes, especially towards Asians, whom they fetishize and orientalize. And so it was actually fairly easy to compose this composite character of BFD, made up of various kinds of French figures and scandals that I've been aware of.
The other thing that really struck me in the book was in The Sympathizer, we had references, lots of references to Apocalypse Now, and obviously that's a popular cultural representation of the American war in Vietnam. In The Committed, we get a scene with Russian roulette. Immediately, of course, the Deer Hunter sprang to mind. I presume that was there in your mind as well.
Absolutely. And, here's a tip of my hat to my editor, Peter Blackstock, who is always good at pulling me back a little bit. Because in The Sympathizer, I think we deleted a chapter and a half from the Apocalypse Now scenes. He said, that's you're probably going a little bit too far here. And likewise here with the Russian roulette sequence, it was actually in the first draft much more explicitly about an allusion to the Deer Hunter. There's all these scenes from this movie that are being talked about. That's all gone. So now there's just a Russian roulette sequence, and you have to know that there was this movie called The Deer Hunter. That's that's up to you as a reader. But I continue to try to have fun with popular culture in this book, again, because I think that American popular culture, the reason why it's important is not just because it's American and I'm American, but because Americans have global power. So their pop culture or our pop culture is circulated globally and has impact on everybody, even people who don't like Americans. You know, so one of the ironies of the outcome of the Vietnam War is that a lot of people all over the world thought of the war as a bad war, as an American imperialist war. And then they'll turn around and they'll watch Apocalypse Now. And there's no disjunction between these two things that you might be opposed to America, but still watch American movies that silence Vietnamese people and erase Vietnamese voices. So it's important for me to keep on bringing in these cultural allusions and to make fun of them. And of course, it's also fun for me as a writer to write these kinds of scenes. I think some reviewers have compared the scene not only to The Deer Hunter, but to, you know, Quentin Tarantino and Reservoir Dogs. And I like that. I like these, the way that my novels, of course I would like them, I wrote them. I like the way that my own novels mix together the high and the low, including lots of allusions to B movies, pulp fiction, crime novels, all that stuff that I grew up on and that I love.
What do you dislike about your own novels?
What do I dislike about my own novels? In The Sympathizer, I set out to try to offend everybody, including Americans. And yet this supposedly very subversive novel won the Pulitzer Prize in the United States. That makes no sense. So I won a bunch of other awards, including in France as well. I guess what I dislike about my own novels is this possibility that maybe they're not that subversive. Maybe they are doing things in a way that is still amenable to dominant culture, colonizing culture, and the like. And that kind of ambivalence or duality, as you said, is a part of the narrator's point of view in these novels. It's also a part of the effects of colonization. It's very difficult to extricate oneself from the effects of colonization, from the effects of racialization. I'm hardly the first writer to experience this dilemma of writing novels that are intended to be deeply critical of colonizing cultures and yet having these novels become celebrated in various ways. You know, you can point to any number of so-called post-colonial writers to whom this has happened, from Salman Rushdie to Ngugi Wa Thiong'o, who have confronted the problems of criticizing the colonizer in their own language, in this case English, and in their own forms, in this case the novel. But what else are we supposed to do? what else am I supposed to do? You colonized me. And as the novel makes fairly clear, I think I like Caliban, have no choice but to curse you in your own language.
What a wonderful way to finish up. So great to speak with you. Can't wait until a time comes when you can actually visit us here and talk further about colonization, because it's a subject that's dear to many people's heart in this country as well. Lovely to speak with you this evening, Viet.
Thanks so much, Sean.
The Committed by Viet Thanh Nguyen is published by Corsair, and Viet will be talking as part of the Kurt International Literary Festival. He'll be with us on Thursday, April 22nd at 5:30 p.m. and you can get full information about booking, etc. on kurch.ie.